You are listening to today's Modern Worship here in Brevard County, 91.5 FM, WMIE.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And it is Tuesday. Welcome to May the 30th in 2023. Hope that you are having a wonderful day. My wife and I are going to be traveling about this week, enjoying some time away. We originally had other plans for this week in that we thought we were going to be moving a family member here. Those plans changed, and so we have decided that we're just going to celebrate our anniversary's coming up here in a few days, and so we're getting as much R&R as we can because the summer looks like it could be a busy time, and so we're away chillaxing this week. We hope that you are having a great day. So right now here on the Refresh radio program, by the way, my name's Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street. We are looking at, we've looked at, the fact that we need to be devoted, that we need to be devoted to Jesus. So we talked about what does the life of a devoted believer look like. We've talked about inspiration, you know, that God breathed upon the Word of God. He breathed into man at creation. And so we need the breath of God. We need the Spirit of God operating in our life. We are not restricted to just natural resources. As a child of God, we have supernatural resources available to us. And so we need God breathing and moving in our life. And so we spent some time talking about that. Right now, we are looking at the reality that we are human beings, and, you know, human beings who've, you know, descended from Adam and Eve, who sinned in the garden, and we've been fallen creatures. And every human being, if you're going to spend eternity with Jesus, you need salvation. You need to be saved. And so that is what we are looking at here. So today we're going to go to Luke, the 19th chapter. We're going to begin reading in verse number 1, and it says this: Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, and he was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to see him, for he was going to pass. He ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, He has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, Look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. And Jesus said to him, Today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. So when Jesus was walking on the earth, there was a lot of intrigue in his ministry because he was doing things that no one else had done, taught the way in which nobody else had taught, and there were a lot of miracles that were taking place. Blind people were seen. Demon-possessed people were being liberated and delivered. There were people who couldn't hear who were suddenly able to hear. People who couldn't speak were able to speak. People who couldn't walk were suddenly able to walk. And people who were dead were raised to life. And so that creates quite a buzz among the community. And so whenever Jesus was going through an area, word would spread very rapidly. And Zacchaeus, who was a tax collector, was a chief tax collector. He was also rich. He decided that he wanted to go see who Jesus was, but he had a problem in that he was vertically challenged. He wasn't very tall. And a lot of people look at the challenges that they face in life and see the limitations that those present, and they just give up and walk away. Zacchaeus said, you know what? There's nobody up in that tree that's going to obscure my vision. And so he just goes over and he climbs a tree. Now, I don't know how long it's been since you climbed a tree. When I was growing up, we had trees that were there, and they were relatively easy to climb because the trunks branched off pretty low onto the ground. And then I had relatives, they would hang from trees, fall off trees, break their arms and stuff like that. We didn't do any of that. We for some reason, we just decided we were going to climb trees, and we had another tree that wasn't that easy to climb, but we thought it'd be a great place for a treehouse. You get a perspective and an unencumbered view whenever you are at greater heights than what the obstacles are. I don't know if you've ever been someplace and a person who was considerably taller than you sat down in front of you, and it's like, My view has just changed. I know that the view of the coastline has changed dramatically in the past several decades because people who used to be able to see the water, there suddenly became a high rise there, and their vision was obscured. So he climbs this tree, and all of a sudden, Jesus gets to the place where Zacchaeus is, looks up in the tree, sees Zacchaeus, and says to him, Zacchaeus. Now, there were a lot of people in Jericho, which is the city that this took place in, who would have known who Zacchaeus was because he wouldn't have been famous, he would have been infamous. He would have been the person that when you saw them coming, you didn't want to deal with them because he was always, you know, collecting taxes. I don't know what your tax bill looked like this year, but I know a number of people, their tax bill was considerably higher than what it has been and higher than what they were expecting it to be. That suddenly causes people to radically change in their personality, especially when you're an oppressed community like the Jewish people were under Roman rule, whenever you don't have much in the way of financial resources and then you are getting taxed, that makes life all the more challenging. And there are, you know, policies that I hear about from time to time. I will tell you my rule of thumb, and that is whenever the government says that I'm here to help, I start grabbing for my wallet because I understand that it's getting ready to cost me more for their help than the problem would have cost me. Back to the scriptures. He says, Zacchaeus. Jesus knew who he was. Jesus knew knew that he wanted to spend the day with him. Jesus, the God who saves, wanted to impact Zacchaeus' house. I want you to know today that if you feel overlooked, if you feel forgotten, if you feel as if no one even knows that you're there, that if people do know that you're there, it's because of, you know, some animosity that they have for you for what you do for a living or whatever. Jesus came and knew exactly who Zacchaeus was, where he was, and what he wanted Zacchaeus to do. Never forget that God knows exactly where you are. I never expected that when we came in 1992 to be the pastors of Merit Assembly of God, I never expected that 30 years from now, or from then, that we were still going to be pastoring Merit Assembly of God. And I can tell you that my mindset the entire time has been, God, you're the commander in chief. You know where I am. You know the circumstances that we face, and we want you to be Lord in this place over these circumstances. So Jesus initiates the conversation. Zacchaeus was looking for the ability to see Jesus, and instead Jesus spoke into his life and gave him the opportunity for transformation. We get down to let's look at verse number 6. So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, the other people, they all complained, saying, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. I kind of like it that Jesus hangs out with people that the rich and famous and the powerful may not be impressed with. You know, they're above them in society. And Jesus, who truly is above everyone in society, is not afraid to humble himself and go and minister to the ones who need a physician. Jesus was literally getting ready to change a whole bunch of stuff in this encounter, this meal that he was going to share with Zacchaeus. So, verse number 8. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore it fourfold. Then Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house because he also is a son of Abraham. So I've got the word is circled here. And so I'm going to start there just a moment, because when Jesus speaks to Zacchaeus in response to Zacchaeus's vow of restoring resources, remember, he was a rich guy, restoring resources to the poor, the impoverished, and if there were any false accusations that he had made, which if he brings that up, guess what? There probably were. He said, I'm going to compensate them four times for everything that they've lost. And Jesus' response to Zacchaeus' declaration is this: today salvation has come to this house because he also is a son of Abraham. Jesus says that in the present tense, right then, right there, Zacchaeus is a son of Abraham. Not because of genealogy, but because of the faith, because of the relationship that he has with God. It ties all the way back into that relationship where Abraham had a relationship with God and was willing to walk away from family traditions to embrace this relationship where he would be the worshiper of the one true God. Where Abraham would know God in his bountiful provision. He took Abraham from being not very well off to being very well off, and he showed himself to Abraham that he is Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides himself. There's a couple of different ways that I look at that. He is the provider, but he provides more than resource. He provides himself. And that is what is truly, truly important. And so verse 8, where Zacchaeus says, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I've taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. Zacchaeus is showing evidence of a changed man. I don't know that Zacchaeus ever said the sinner's prayer. But as he ate with Jesus in his house, he repented. Repentance is not just saying, I'm sorry I got caught. Repentance is a change of heart and a change of mind. I was reading something about someone here not too long ago. It was a story from their past, and it was told of how they had repented, how they had apologized, but they never changed the circumstance. You see, godly sorrow is different than being sorry that you got caught in a sin. Godly sorrow produces repentance. So there is evidence of a changed man, and whenever a man is changed, it's going to result in his house being changed. And so Jesus says today salvation has come to this house. The study of salvation is an area of theology. It's called soteriology. Salvation means wholeness and deliverance. I don't remember the exact percentages, but several years ago I was presented with statistics, and it said if a young person from a household of non-believers, if they become a believer, then the entire household has a very small chance of also becoming a believer. They said if you take a household of unbelievers and the woman becomes a believer, the likelihood that the household is changed will increase dramatically from that if it was child initiated, but it would still only transform the house less than 50% of the time. However, if the man, the husband, the father, the head of the house, if he was the one that had a transforming relationship with Jesus, almost 100%, it was the overwhelming majority of families ended up embracing faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So when the Philippian jailer got saved, Paul could say, you and your entire household will be saved. Guys, our families know our flaws. And when they see us repent of those flaws and change to the glory of God, it may take some time, but the entire household can be saved. So please don't put please do not put off embracing Jesus until you have lost your family. Embrace Jesus as early as possible so you can set your family on a spiritual trajectory of vibrant faith. Not only was Zacchaeus' house changed, but the community was changed. Can you imagine what happened when Zacchaeus walks out that day and he says, half of everything I've got, I'm giving away to the poor. Here's money for you. Here's money for you. It was a economically stimulating activity. There may have been people that were able to buy groceries that hadn't been able to buy groceries. People who suddenly were able to pay their bills. You know, back in those days, they had debtors' prisons. And so if there was somebody who had been cast in prison because they owed somebody money, now they might be able to get out and be a functioning member of society again. Because Zacchaeus was a changed man, and because his household was changed, his community was changed, and there was going to be eternal change. Jesus said he also is a son of Abraham. And the last sentence that we've read here, it says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Salvation means wholeness, and it means deliverance. When it says here that Jesus has come to seek, we've spent a great deal of time in the not-too-distant past talking about all of the things that Jesus commands us in the Word of God to seek. Earlier this year, we had a lady from our church, her daughter, is a minister in their church up in a northeast state. And don't ask me exactly which one, because I always get it wrong. Her husband is a counselor. They do marriage retreats, and they were doing marriage retreats in someplace in Europe here. And so she came down, and she was spending some time. She came to church with her mother, and I said, if you really want to do a study, you know, Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added up unto you. I said, you should really grab a concordance, do a search about all of the things that the Word of God tells us to seek. And she came up to me after the service, and she said, I have a feeling that I'm going to go back home, and I'm going to regret that I came to hear this message. And it's like, oh, what did I say? And she said, oh, you just challenged me, and I know myself. When I get back, I'm going to end up diving into the Word of God, and I'm going to see all of these things that I'm supposed to be seeking. And I know myself, it's going to be a consuming journey as God reveals to me from his Word all of the things that I've always supposed to been seeking. Well, please understand this. Before God ever commanded us to seek, Jesus was already seeking us. You know, in military, they would use the term seek and destroy. Jesus uses the term seek and to save. The word to save means to save or deliver, to make well, or to heal. To save, to deliver, to make well, or heal. So when we look at the definition of salvation, which is wholeness or deliverance, we see that there is a completion of the plan. And Jesus said that it had come to Zacchaeus' house that day. You know what it doesn't say? It doesn't say what day of the week that took place on. A lot of people think you can only get saved on Sunday, only get saved the day that you go to church. You can get saved right now in your car while you're driving. You can get saved right now while you are cleaning your house. You can get saved in your cubicle at work. You can get saved, you know, whatever you're doing, because Jesus is looking for you. And it's not that he's wanting to ruin your life. He's wanting to save your life. So, it says here, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. The word lost there from the Greek lexicon, it either means to be destroyed, it's perished, or it was lost. I don't know where you are. I do know this, that the devil loves to come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Jesus makes this statement that his mission was not just for Zacchaeus, but for all who are lost. What has the enemy stolen from you? It might not be spiritual for you. It may be financial, like Zacchaeus had experienced there. Jesus, or in Malachi, God promises that he will rebuke the devourer. And that was in a agrarian society where crops were lost or destroyed, and that had a huge economic impact. You know, it could be something that just, you know, one of the things I hate, don't you hate buying food and then before you get to eat it, it goes to waste in the refrigerator or something? I don't like that at all. But even more tragic than a loss of food is a lost life. A life lost of purpose, a life lost of joy or peace. Jesus said that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. And so I pray today, no matter where you are, that if you have been negatively impacted by the influences of darkness on your life, please understand Jesus is in passionate pursuit. He's passing your way. Maybe you don't need to climb a tree. Maybe you need to hit your knees and say, Jesus, I need to meet you right here. And watch what Jesus is able to restore back into your life. It worked for Zacchaeus. It'll work for you. It'll work for me. God bless you. You have a great day. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.